Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Are you ready? It's Saturday morning at Yahoo Sports Radio. Welcome to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon and powered by Insperity.
Insperity, inspiring small business performance.
The golf doctor, Charlie Epps, is in. The man who coaches PGA stud, Angel Cabrera.
Follow the golf doctor on Twitter, @thegolf_doctor.
Doctor, the golf doctor is in on Yahoo Sports Radio right now. With Charlie Epps, here's your host. From the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio, it's our very own scratch golfer, sort of.
Hey, I should have stayed home and played with myself.
John Granato.
Good Saturday morning, everybody. As the man told you, we are in the Quicken Loans studios here in Houston. Me and my man Charlie Epps, off the road and in studio and getting ready for the U.S. Open.
That's exactly right. At Oakmont, the hardest U.S. Open course on the in the history, they say. It's been there 9 times. A lot of great champions. Nicholas Hogan, Angel Cabrera.
Angel Cabrera.
Ernie Els.
Oh, some great ones.
Yeah.
You know, last week, Billy, you had to leave, and Billy and I were talking about it, and Billy is joining us right now on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Billy Harmon. Bill, what's up?
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
We were talking about it, Bill, and you had mentioned, yeah, Oakmont, we were talking about it, and the score was what? It was ridiculously high. 7 over won it.
Five over.
Five over won it, and... I said, well, why? And you said, no reason. I thought maybe, you know, unbelievable winds or rain or whatever happened. And it was just that hard.
No, you start with the rough. And that year in 2007, last time it was held there, famous quote from Phil Mickelson is, the rough is dangerous. And he did hurt his wrist. So you have three types of grass that make up the rough at Oakmont, and one is worse than the other, and you combine three of them, the ball goes to the bottom, you're just chipping out. And the fairways on average in the U.S. Open are 26 yards wide, plus the fact that their bunkering at Oakmont is ridiculous. Not ridiculous, it's just well-placed bunkers. They were able to adjust them for the length. And, Bill, the green complexes have to be, you know, right there, probably a little harder than Wingfoot.
Yeah, I said on the show last week, Charlie, that I think a couple of them are borderline unfair myself. I think 1, 10, and maybe 3. Very rarely do you have very difficult holes where the green is running away from you like they do on 1 and 10. So as much as I love Oakmont, I think at times it's a tad tricked up. What are your thoughts on that?
It's diabolical. It is.
Yeah.
It is borderline unfair, and you know, a lot of great guys say golf's not a fair game. So there are some ridiculous situations, just like you said, 1, 10, 3, where the step meter can't even register how fast they are. I always thought the best comment about how fast the greens were was in 74 when they played it at Wingfoot, and Nicholas said he marked his ball in number one and the dime slid off the
off the green.
You know, I think I just read in Golf Digest that Wingfoot is the hardest open course golf, given the average winning score is almost 3 over at Wingfoot.
That we had
third.
Yeah, we had back to back years with Jeff Ogilvy and Angel. They both shot 5 over.
Right.
Yeah,
and Wingfoot, and then Oakmont, and yeah, you know Wingfoot pretty well too, huh, Bill?
Yeah, you know they're not really similar, but both courses have, you know, very unique green complexes. Both courses, by and large, I know that Oakmont's got that little kind of stream. I don't know what you call it, Charlie, that runs there left of number 9 and left of number 1 and 18. It's a little, almost like a little moat or something, but that's about the only water you'll find on the course at,
and there's no,
at Oakmont. And Wingfoot's the same. There's no water or penalty shots, really, at Oakmont or Wingfoot.
Or out of bounds. I mean, the penalty shots.
Yeah, you just have to play golf.
You get it above the hole, and gravity takes over, and you're going to be, you know, hitting it from 30 to 40 yards, you know, off the green in some cases. So it's going to be fun. They got a good field. Jordan Spieth, you know, how many people have ever repeated back-to-back? We're talking Hogan. We're talking Curtis Strange. So the chances of him repeating history really is not too kind to the defending champion.
And we're going to have some great pairings. They're out already. Rory, Danny Willett, and Ricky Fowler going off at 8:24 off the first tee, off the 10th tee. Jordan, Zach Johnson, and Bryson DeChambeau at 8:35 a.m. Imagine that's Eastern, so 7:35 Central. And then a couple of good pairings in the afternoon as well. 2:20, Jason Day, Louis Oosthuizen, and Adam Scott will go off the front. Phil, Justin Rose, and Henrik Stenson going off the back at 2:09. So they're putting some really good players together.
Unkill's playing with Ernie Els, who was U.S. Open winner twice, and then Jim Furyk, who finished second to Unkill with Tiger in 2007, is in that grouping of the three. So
now he's been struggling a little bit. Do you worry about that with a guy who's – because he just came back. He was hurt, and he just came back. Do you worry about that when you're playing with somebody that's struggling? Because it could bring the group down.
No, I think at that level, John, they're so into their environment and what they need to do. Angel, a lot of times, you know, they don't pay any attention.
They don't.
You know, you've got to train yourself that way. And Jim, I've talked to Jim and his caddy Fluff that he was smart about his injury. He took enough time off. He didn't come back too soon. He made the cut last week at Muirfield, so he can have a good tournament.
Yeah. Bill, did you ever have that when you were caddying with Jay or anybody that a guy in the group was really kind of aggravating the rest of the guys?
No, not really, John. I think. Not from an injury standpoint. I think in Angel's case, Jim Furyk's a very deliberate player. Angel's a fast player. And Angel's not running real good right now. So that could be a little bit of a situation for Angel, couldn't it? Because he tends to get impatient anyway, Charlie.
Well, he learned his lesson in a few years back at the Players' Championship on Saturday. He was paired with Kevin Na. And Kevin Na really got under his skin, and Angel went out and shot 77 when he was really playing well, and he said from that day on, I'm not going to let that kind of stuff bother me. Right now, Angel's game is, you know, he's missed three cuts in a row. His last year and a half hasn't been as kind to him as he wants. He's been working hard, and at the age of 46, some of your skills kind of, you know, start waning a little, but he's looking forward to a good week. He's going in there with a positive frame of mind.
He's got this year and next year that he's still exempt.
Yes, it's a 10-year exemption when you win the U.S. Mm-hmm. Open, mm-hmm. And he won it in 07, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, hopefully he starts to play, and it starts next week, and it's how exciting, and is there a different excitement for this for the Masters versus the U.S. Open?
I think each of the four majors there's a different personality, and there's 50 guys that just qualified for this event. Some of the guys are local amateurs, and so you get that. But the top 50 are there, and in the Open, you know you're going to have some train wrecks.
Yeah.
You got to hopefully not make any doubles. You can take care of bogeys, you know. Hogan always used to say, and Billy, you know this, he knew that in an open competition, he's going to make four bogeys. And in an open competition, he's going to make four birdies. So seven, par is – so if he started off bogeying the first four holes like at Wingfoot, which he can do, he said, okay, now my birdies are coming. So – You know, it's a different mentality.
Yeah. Did you feel any differently, Bill, going into these two different?
Yeah, because you're always playing a different course, John. And when you get to Augusta, you pretty much know what to expect. Mm-hmm. When you go to an Oakmont, then, you know, maybe the next year you're at a ball of straw, or the next year a wing foot, Olympic club. So I think the key is trying to learn that course in a 2 or 3 day period. When it's set up brutally difficult and practice rounds are laboriously slow, I think most of the good players nowadays go in a week or two in advance, do some work on their own for a couple days. But I think it gets to be a little bit of a marathon out there. It's a very hard tournament to prepare for, I think.
Yeah. When we come back, I'll tell you how Anko prepared for 07.
All right. We'll do that next right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
All right, back here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance, and internationalproam.com.
The ultimate buddy trip. Reward yourself. December, Puerto Vallarta. Be there. Be there with me. I'll buy you your first margarita or show you how to get to the golf course. This is the International Pro-Am put on by Bill Sitton. This is 27 years. It's been going. It's a wonderful week of golf, wonderful week of friendship and camaraderie and renewing friendships and playing golf and just having fun under the sun at a perfect hotel, the Casa Magna Marriott. They have just a great, it's right on the bay there, and you're overlooking the beautiful Pacific Ocean, and all the rooms are looking at it. I mean, you get, it's just wonderful. So log on to PuertoVallartaProAm.com, get all the information, put it on your calendar, and join me this December in Puerto Vallarta, internationalproam.com.
It's a lot of fun. All right, now, you, before we left, you said you were going to explain what Ankel did when he won in 07 at Oakmont. He really got ready.
Well, you know, he really prepared well for the event. He qualified. He got there Monday night real late, registered Tuesday morning, and went out to play 18 holes of golf to get ready to find out all about the course. Slow practice rounds because there's 150 guys trying to play, so he played 9 holes and went back to his motel to rest. Wednesday he did the same thing, so he had played 18 holes of golf on an open course and proceeds to win. So I'm not saying that might be the best way to prepare at a open venue, Bill, because of the slow practice rounds.
Yeah, that's why I think if you go in ahead of time, and if you want to, and then do the 9-hole thing during the week, I think that's the way to do it, Charlie. Of course, in Angel's case, he didn't go in early, but I think the practice rounds at the U.S. Open are just a joke almost. They're so slow, and guys are chipping and butting and chipping and chipping and butting. So I think most of the players go in, do some work early, and then they just get ready for the tournament on Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, too, is why don't guys go in on off weeks? Well, you know, go to Oakmont, go play, so they make sure that they get to know the course a little bit.
Well, but see, sometimes it's easier to play it when you don't know it than when you play it one or two times.
Yeah.
I mean, it just takes years and years to get to know a golf course, especially one like Oakmont. I mean, Nicklaus, how many times did he play there in tournaments prior to his victory? You know, so it to each his own, but it's very hard. Sometimes practice rounds are very, they're boring, and you know, it's not the adrenaline that you have during a tournament. So you get a good caddy and a yardage book, and you play.
Yeah. We got Billy Harmon and Charlie Epps with you here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity. Bill, what about, I don't know if you know this, but there's a big tournament going on here, KPMG. We got the ladies out there competing for a major.
I've been watching it. I've enjoyed watching it. Sahali, which I've never been to, I've seen it on TV when the men played there. Looks like a very, very, very hard golf course, and it's bearing out that way. There's 200 pars leading the tournament. Interestingly enough, I still think, and I don't know the reason for this, Charlie, but the American girls have almost disappeared from the scene in professional golf. We have Lexi Thompson, of course, and Stacey Lewis, but they won one tournament all year, and we're here almost into July or middle of June. This Jarena Pillar, who hasn't won a tour event yet, playing very good. She's a shot back, but just intriguing to me how not one American girl really has stepped up to the plate here in the last few years and competed against the world-class players of the LPGA Tour.
It's just hard for me to believe. I don't have a reason for it. I mean, there's a lot of girls in junior golf all over the United States that have good instruction. They have good tournaments to play in, junior golf programs like here in Houston. They go to universities and they get trained. And I don't know what it is, but they're certainly not on the forefront of ladies' professional golf by no means. Mm-hmm. And maybe they should start going over and training in Korea and find out what the heck they're doing over there. But I think the mindset of the Koreans, of the Oriental ladies, is different, and there's something to that. And my hat's off to them. But the golf course they're playing this week is probably the tightest golf course I've ever seen. I mean, these trees, fir trees, are 100 feet tall, and they line the fairways, and you just got to be able to hit it perfectly straight every time, and the scores reflect that. And Lydia Ko is right there, so it'll be fun to see in the next 36 holes. And the interesting you mentioned it, Bill, is that it's a joint venture between the LPGA and the PGA of America has stepped up and combined forces to make this major championship a more, I guess, bigger event, and my hat's off to both organizations for working together.
Yeah, I agree with them. I think it seems to me to be a world-class event now, and I'm quite interested to watch it because the golf course itself is of major championship quality. I like it when par is the standard of excellence. I'm looking forward to the weekend and watching it.
Yeah, and it's tough. Like you said, two under, only five of the ladies are under par, and plus seven was the cut, so it's tough out there, no question, and a different kind of golf course too. It's neat to see that.
See, and you can go from watching men's golf, and then go live because it's on the West Coast.
West Coast, right?
And you see competition. But here we are, almost halfway through the show today. We haven't talked about the tournament in Memphis.
Yeah, Daniel Berger's leading.
Yeah,
Dustin Johnson and Phil Mickelson lurking four back. That's nice.
Yeah,
Ken Duke has played well this year, Charlie.
Yeah.
He's been playing well, so it's nice to see him up there. A nice leaderboard. And here's guys. Now, a lot of the names stayed away because it's the week before the U.S. Open, but we still got a nice leaderboard here.
Yeah, and Phil being number one. I mean, he's finished second in the U.S. Open six times, and he's playing his way into the Open. And there's people saying on television that his swing is much better now. Bill, do you see any difference, the swing that he had with your brother Butch or what he's doing now?
Yeah, I think he's coming into the ball a little more shallow. When I saw him in South Korea back in October, at the time I didn't know that he was working with somebody else, but I mentioned to him that when he tried to draw the ball, his swing looked very good. But he got a little bit wayward yesterday at the end of that round. He started hit sideways, but he's hitting a lot of very good shots. I would love to see him have a chance next week. I think that would add so much excitement to the event if he had a chance with nine holes to go to complete his personal grand slam.
So I don't want to say unlucky, but man, oh man, has he had it tough at the U.S. Open, where it's so close, so close.
Him and Sam Snead. But we're going to talk to who, John?
Hal Sutton's coming up next.
1983 PGA champion.
That's right, and player of the year that year as well. So we'll talk to Hal Sutton up next on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour,
featuring Bill Harmon
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Powered by Insperity.
Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance, bringing in the 1983 Player of the Year, PGA Champion, the original Tiger Tamer, Hal Sutton, with us here on ESPN, excuse me, on Yahoo Sports Radio. Hal, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good.
And we appreciate you being here. So I understand, how's this project you got going on? What's going on?
We're building a sporting club in Columbus, Texas here, just west of Houston, and we built a Chet Williams par 3 golf course that's spectacular and a unbelievable learning facility. And then we've got world-class hunting and fishing, and it's quite a place. Everybody needs to see it. It's called the Big Easy Ranch.
The Big Easy. Hal, this is Charlie. Good morning.
Good morning, Charlie.
Now, over your great career, and I've looked, and you've played in over 767 PGA tournaments and Champion Tour events. Plus, I would think you've probably hit over 150,000 shots in competition where you're really working hard. And after that great career, now you're getting ready to coach golf. What would you be telling somebody going into Oakmont this week? What would be your strategy? And I know you've played Oakmont. What would be your strategy at Oakmont?
Patience would be my strategy there. I mean, Oakmont's one of the most difficult golf courses in the world. You know, and actually in 1983 in the U.S. Open there, I was paired with Johnny Miller. I'll never forget it, and that was his 10-year anniversary of winning, you know, shooting the 63, the final round to win the U.S. Open at Oakmont. And I tripled the first hole. And after 45 holes, I had the lead in the golf tournament. I was playing with Watson and Ballesteros on Saturday, and at one time all three of us had the lead. But my point in telling you this is I made 23 birdies that week and finished fifth in the U.S. Open. So it's a golf course that gives, and it's a golf course that takes.
Wow.
Billy, say hello to Hal.
Hey, Hal, Bill Harmon here.
Hey, Bill.
Hal, I've always wanted to ask you, you know, you won the PGA at Riviera. You won the Players Championship, and both times, my memory serves me correct, you stood on the last hole, and you knew that you needed a par to win. And both times you played both holes absolutely perfectly. Walk us through what it is that allowed you to hit such quality shots under duress. Some people can do it. Some people can't. You, as I recall, hit four perfect shots in those two tournaments. Can you kind of walk us through your mindset when you're in that position under that intense pressure?
Billy, that's part of my theory in golf is I've always been a point A to point B to point C player. And, you know, I feel like if you take in too much of what's going on, you can't handle all the things that are going on. But if you focus on, if you will, bullseye on where you want to go, you can take that part of it in. And as you well know, you and Charlie, when you're playing in intense pressure, there's some forces that if you allow yourself to think about, you can get caught up thinking about them and overwhelmed with them. And I tried to bring my world down as small as I could in the big circumstances in order to cope with the circumstances. And I think that's what you're asking me. I hope that's it.
Well, you have to have a special mentality when you start a tournament with a triple bogey and work yourself back into the event in a couple of rounds of golf. I can remember I had a caddy when I was playing my most important tournament, and I had a three-shot lead on the last day on number one, and I stood up and I made a quick triple bogey seven, and we're walking to the next tee, and my caddy, who's on the phone with us, Bill Harmon, says, "Well, pro, if you were worried about being in the lead, you just took care of that." And he handled it with humor, and he turned my head around, and by the time we got to 16, I was tied again. I ended up not winning. But how important to you, Hal, in your career has your caddies been? Have they been able to help you in certain situations?
Yes, they've been able to help me in certain situations, but you bring up humor. The easiest thing to help somebody with is to divert their attention circumstances sometimes. And, you know, that's what golf is it the boring times mixed with some overwhelming circumstances. And a caddy is someone, if they're really good, which Billy is great at it, the situation. And the best players in the world are the ones that have been set for a long period of time. And
Hal, we're having a hard time with your phone. Are you in a place with your cell phone that you're? I think we're getting some bad coverage there.
Well, let me see if I can move around here.
Hal Sutton is with us here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Try to get this phone thing better. Hal, you there?
I am here. Can you hear me any better?
That's much better. Much better. Okay. Go ahead. Continue.
Well, what I was saying is the caddy is someone that reads the circumstances, and golf is comprised of a bunch of kind of boring, monotonous times of doing the same thing, but at the same time, there's some overwhelming times where a caddy needs to step in and those big moments and say the right thing. And a good caddy can do that. Billy was certainly one of those people.
Hal Sutton with us here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Is there any one moment that you remember from I mentioned the Tiger Tamer, from that 2000 Players Championship? Was there any one turn or any one thing that you remember from that tournament?
Oh yeah, there's a lot of things that I remember. The greatest shot I ever hit in my life was in that last round. I hit it, you know, I had a one shot lead at the time or something like that, and we're on the eighth hole and the pin is kind of back left, and it's that long par three, and you kind of got to, in order to get that shot close, you got to shave that left side. And I tried to do that, and it went over the left, and as luck would have it, it goes all the way across and up against the back lip. And, I mean, the ball's 2 feet below where my feet are able to, because my feet are not able to get in the sand. And the pin is only about 15 feet outside the bunker, and the ball is probably 6 to 8 feet below the surface, the putting surface. And so when we walked up there, Tiger hit it about 20 feet below the hole. And we walked over there, and I'll never forget it. Tiger walked over and looked at my ball in the bunker, and he kind of turned around to Steve as if, and we all know what people are thinking in circumstances like that. he looked at Stevie to say, "We got him now." So I turned Freddie and I said, "Well, I'm going to tell you something. If we're going to win this tournament, I'm going to have to hit the greatest shot of my life right here." And so the last thing I told myself was I saw where I was at, and I said, "Okay, do not move. Do not change the height and the approach into the ball." So, in other words, the path. And, I mean, I stayed as still as I've ever stayed. I hit the most perfect shot. It popped up out of there, landed about 8 feet on the green, and went about 8 feet beyond the hole. And I'll never forget looking at Tiger's face when I hit that shot because he thought, "Oh, my God, this guy's here to stay today." So,
great, great story. Hal Sutton here. Well, Hal, are you in Columbus? Are you? How's the project going right now?
It's going great. We still have things to build, but we're pretty close to opening it up. And the golf course is fantastic. The driving range and learning center is awesome. And the clubhouse is beautiful, and I'm telling you, this is a one of a kind place. There's, you know, I'm pretty worldly traveled. I've seen a lot of places. I've never seen any place like this.
That's awesome, Hal. We appreciate it. He can stay. Oh, we got one more segment with Hal Sutton here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Don't you go anywhere.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
Back here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance, and the Southern Texas PGA. Thank you, Southern Texas PGA.
That's it. They represent the game of golf quite well. Over 500 golf professionals, he or she, teaching the game of golf. Just what Hal Sutton is getting involved to, becoming a guru, using his knowledge of what he's gained over the last 30 years as a major champion. And, Bill, as you know, you look, what would you tell Hal to do as he starts his new teaching career?
Well, it sounds like to me Hal already has a vision here, and he's living out that vision. You know, if you listen to his answers today, I have said this for years, and I believe this, the most untapped resource in golf instruction today are the players. And I think it's great that they're going to get involved in it. They're going to love helping other players. But the fact of the matter is they've actually done it. And I think that the players, I would love to see more people like Hal get involved in helping players. Just his answer about how he played those last two holes to win the tournaments. He brought everything down to kind of a small thing instead of a big thing. But only a player can tell you that, not somebody like me looking at a video or a balance pad or something like that. So I think the players have unbelievable things to offer to improving the game.
Hal, is there one certain type of student that you guys are going to specialize in? I know your love for junior golf and how you grew up. Where you want to go with what you're doing?
Well, let me, I'm not sure. This is an evolution, and it's going to tell me where I need to go. But to build on what Billy just said, you know, in the old days, everybody were club pros first and tour players second. They made the bulk of what they made of being a club pro, and then they had 20 weeks a year where they went out and they played and they learned how to play the game. The way the game is being taught today is completely opposite to that. I'm teaching kids right now that think they can actually learn this game on a practice tee. And they spend 80% of their time on the practice tee and 20% of their time on the golf course. I learned the game the exact opposite to that. I spent maybe 10% of my time on the practice tee, and I would play 36 holes a day. I learned how to play the game, not swing the game. And by and large, that's got to be overcome. We're living in a time in the world where we're slaves to data. And if the data doesn't say what it's supposed to say, then I'm paralyzed. And that's Fleetwood fall, and both of you guys know that. And we've got to teach people how to play, not teach them how to swing more.
That's, 100%. There's my quote.
There's your 100%.
100%.
So are you going to try to get, great player? Are you going to try to develop great players, or is this going to be open for everybody, Hal?
Well, it's going to be open for everybody, but, I like every teacher, you really want to work with promising students, and I mean, I've got several girls already that I'm teaching and a couple of young men that are really setting the world on fire already, and it's really, one of the things that I'm encountering is everybody thinks distance is everything. And I can tell you that there's thousands of people that can hit it 9 miles that are lost in the woods somewhere that we don't even know who their name is. But I have never seen a great iron player that you didn't see his name in lights. And it's just one simple thing. The closer you hit it, the more putts you make. And the more you hit it in high, the better off you are. And, that's the reason for the par 3 course out here, is because the whole thing is my teaching. So I can pick people and simulate shot anywhere on the golf course that I want to. I mean, this is really an extraordinary thing. And I'm just excited about it. I know that when people sit, the learning experience that they know they're going to be able to get from this is going to be pretty incredible.
And there's going to be some hunting. Some quail are going to be in trouble there too, huh?
Oh, man, we've got upland game. We've got duck hunting. We've got world-class deer hunting. I mean, we've got deer on the ranch that or 350 Boone Crockett. So, I mean, we've got 80 acres of food plots on this place that are irrigated. I mean, this place lacked nothing. We've cabins for people to stay overnight. The clubhouse is spectacular. It's every man's den that you wish your wife would let you build, would be the way I would describe it.
What's the website?
BigEasyRanch.com.
BigEasyRanch.com. So this is kind of a weekend getaway. We'll play golf. We'll learn golf. We'll go hunting. We'll kill some stuff. We got the cabins. We'll stay in there. We got beautiful clubhouse, dining, everything else.
We got it all.
Well, Hal, I really appreciate you taking your time out this morning and being with us. And on behalf of Billy and John and myself, we'll be out there to visit you, and I thank you for your time.
Oh, Charlie, always enjoy talking with you. Billy is hearing your voice too, buddy.
Thank you. And I look forward to coming out and visiting with you. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Columbus, Texas.
Columbus.
Big Easy That's Ranch.
60 miles from here.
Yeah, that ain't
That's
bad.
It.
How about that? How about that? That's a dream weekend for guys, huh?
And that's beautiful country out there.
How about getting that for your? How about for Dad for Father's Day? Get him a little getaway out there.
Father's Day coming up.
Coming up next week.
That's it.
That's
Bill.
A great little gift for Father's Day. Here's a little golf hunting weekend at Hal Sutton's ranch.
Any predictions for next week, Bill?
Well, I'm going to go with Rory.
You like Rory?
Yeah.
How's Jordan going to play?
Boy, I think he's the one that's kind of hard to figure out. He's certainly hit a lot of wayward shots at Memorial, and I don't think you're going to get away with that at Oakmont. But, Jordan is a phenomenal scorer. I don't put anything past Jordan's feet. I'm a huge fan of Jordan.
Who you got, Charlie?
The field.
You got the field?
There you go.
I'm going to take Jason Day, I think. All right? I'm going with the chalk. Boy, is he good. All right, we've got a big show next week. You'll be there. Yeah. We're going to be in the middle of it from Oakmont, the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Have a great week, everybody.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.